Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, the Jets football podcast, with your host, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Sean McPhillip. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter/X at Liftoff Jets. You can follow Sharman at GrownFolk1980. You could also find his articles on playlikeajet.com every week. You could also follow me at CP7NY. You could also find our podcast wherever you find your podcasts, at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. And you can also find us at SportsWire Radio, which is going through a change with the website. So follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at Thomas Bryce 2017, for the scheduling when it does come out of what the website is going to be called. So, Sharman, we're going to get into our kind of a new setup on the podcast a little bit. We're going to go through what we normally go through. We're just going to try to go through quarters and try to simplify everything for everybody. What do you think?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing? we've been thinking about this for a minute. You know, we've been doing podcasting for a while. We do it for fun, of course, but we also think that we've gotten better over the years. So we think that being a little bit more formal as a podcast is something that we should try. So this is our attempt at being a little bit more formal as a podcast. We bring you all the information that we've gathered about the NFL and the Jets, because at the end of the day, we're Jets forward, but we're football first. That's basically how I see it.
I agree.
Yeah.
So we're just going to break it down into quarters, kind of give it the football feel to it as well. First quarter, I'll just give you a quick rundown. First quarter is going to be, we're going to review the Jet game from the previous week, a quick kind of quick highlights for both of us, anything we want to chat about. And then we're going to preview next week's game. And then second quarter is going to be basically Jet news of the week, like injury news, Jet news. Obviously, this week we had the trade deadline, so we're going to hop into that a little bit. Third quarter, we're going to get into NFL news, anything that happened during the week. Obviously, trade deadline news for the NFL was pretty big. And then the fourth quarter, we're going to end it with just talking about next week's games. And we'll give our picks and give a little, preview for each game. So that's going to be that. So let's start off. First quarter, obviously, Jet game, probably ugliest game I think anybody's ever watched in their life. At least as a Jet fan, it's a pretty bad one. That was pretty bad from both sides. But the Jets, incredibly and thankfully, actually won that game 13-10. What was, give me a couple of your thoughts, because I have a couple that I had. We probably got the same ones, but what were some of your thoughts about it?
The execution was horrible. Play calling was horrible. And I think ultimately one of the things that the team in a lot of ways let Zach Wilson down. Ultimately, Zach Wilson is not the starter and he's not an elite level quarterback. So he needs all the help that he can get. 4 to 5 drops for the game in the most inopportune times is going to kill his confidence. And the good thing about it is that he didn't, that he kept going no matter how many drops he had and how many plays he had. The fact that he kept pushing is a testament to how much he's grown between last year, because last year Zach wouldn't be this guy. He wouldn't have been able to bring his team back the way he did when given the shot. Because let's be real, the Giants basically gave the Jets a chance and the Jets took it. Offensive line was a mess. The offensive line is a mess because of incredible amount of injuries. This is almost like I don't understand how this is happening. these incredible amounts of injuries. I don't think it's something that's ever happened before in the NFL, because it's not just the Jets having injuries to the level that they're having. It's just the whole NFL. The fact that on offense, for the offensive line, the Jets offensive line, it's happened so much. It's basically kind of tainted what Joe Douglas has tried to do. I think he's poured a ton of resources into the team, into the line. But guess what? It's not working, because every time somebody's up, they get injured, and most of the time it's not some nick, a small nick or that's it's something permanent, something for the season at least, so other than just the just pure lack of execution on plays, guys running shorter routes than they're supposed to, Conklin, Breece Hall dropping passes, Zach short arming simple passes, it was just in a lot of ways it was just a mess of a game. And the fact that the Giants were reasonable enough to give the Jets a chance, and the Jets took it.
Yeah, it was ugly from start to finish, that game. And everything you said, what bothered me more before the injuries kind of creeped in second, third quarter, like, we had an extra week to prepare for this game. And that's what this team comes out looking like, especially on offense. I thought that was the worst part. I mean, we had a whole week to prepare for this team, an extra week, because we were coming off the bye. And that's the best you guys, that really bothered me, because early on I said, we should be dominating this team. I mean, the Giants are just an awful team. Their defense has played well the last couple of weeks. I give them that. But the Jets got to be better than that. Like you said, play calling was awful. It was just awful. There were drops everywhere, so we're not going to kill Zach. I know you're either on the Zach is the greatest quarterback or Zach is the worst quarterback. At least that's what I see on social media. There's no in between with Jet fans. Even I seen something today. I think Joe from what's the other Jet? Joe Caparoso.
Yes. Caparoso, yeah.
Caparoso. He said, Jet fans think Joe Douglas is an A+ GM. He goes, but he's really a C+. And I'm like, I think he's somewhere in between. Right, he's not great, because let's be honest, he doesn't have a playoff appearance yet. We haven't had a winning season yet under him. But what he has done, he has, rebuilt this team from nothing. I mean, remember where we were 3 years ago when he took over, or 4 years ago, whatever it was. So he's rebuilt his team. But yeah, he's got the big X's next to him, the quarterback. He missed on Zach Wilson so far. I'm not saying Zach Wilson is definitely bad, but so far, he's missed on that. You mentioned offensive line. I mean, every year, it's the same story. I'm not saying it's his fault, but you got to figure this out, right? With all these injuries, it's ridiculous. And it's always the offensive line. But he's done a good job mostly everywhere else. The drafts have been pretty good. He's rebuilt the roster. It's a great defense. So, yeah, I mean, he's not an A. He's not a C either, but we'll give him a B. How's that? Is that okay? It's okay to give an in between,
And not to cut you off, but I tweeted something like that a while ago, where I said the Jets fans are basically, they just can't find any middle ground, or can't settle in any middle ground when they're describing this team.
Right.
And the craziest thing about it is this. I mean, I understand to an extent, because it's fandom, and fandom, and by definition, is crazy. So he just, fanatics. So you basically go from the extremes. You go from either incredibly good, where they could never do no wrong, to everything they do sucks, you right. know, and there's no middle ground there. And I think the problem with being losing for so long or being having an extended period of bad football like the Jets have had in the last 12 years is that it has kind of metastasized. I want to say that's the word. You know what I mean? You know, exactly. It's like you have a, you know, you like you have a sore or something that, right. You
know, it does. It's gotten, you know, it started off this and now it's, oh, it's either great or awful. And that's the same thing with Zach Wilson, right?
When
you're either it's all for or all against. I'm like, well, maybe,
right.
You know,
Joe Douglas has done a good amount for this team, which I agree with you. A B is where I'm at. I think B or B minus would be fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even argue for B plus. I'm fine. The reason why I would not, I'm not giving him a C or anything like that is because, again, he has amassed an incredibly talented roster almost out of nothing. This is what people are not taking into account. A lot of the moves that Joe Douglas did to get the players that he has were moves that people were questioning. They're like, do we really got to do this? Why are we doing this? Every player we have, we're losing them, and so on and so on and so forth. And he has created this to the point where most Jets fans started going, wait a minute, this guy, he's just pulling stuff out of his butt. Look, he's making magic happen here. He got this guy, he got this guy, he got that guy. And then all of a sudden, when things are not working, everybody goes back to the flaws. Every team in the NFL has flaws. Right now, one of the best teams in the NFL is the Eagles. Right now, the Eagles' defensive back room is putrid.
Yeah, if Washington could light them up like they did, think about what a better team like, say, Dallas this week is going to do.
Thank you, which we're going to talk about soon. But wait, I thought this dude was one of the best DMs in the NFL, right? All these magic moves that he's made, everybody's talking about how he's the best GM in the NFL. How does his roster have a weakness like defensive back? No?
I agree. And you know what? They still got Bradberry. They still got Slay.
Right? Yeah, but guess what? Guess what? A good GM is, and take what I'm saying with a grain of salt, because I'm using it just to explain the Jets situation. A good GM would foresee that two older corners were getting old and get rid of them before they started getting old. No?
Right.
Yeah, that would be the argument. But this is the thing. But this is the argument. But there is no there's no good faith argument here. Because when those corners performed like they did last year, you can't predict when that game is going to fall apart. You just can't. So you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't as a GM. So I'm sorry. I'm not going to highlight how good Joe Douglas has been, nor will I kill him completely for the flaws that are on this roster. I think he's done a good job.
Right. He's done a good job. Not a great job. Yes. Not an awful job.
Yep.
You know, he's had some big misses, but he's also had some ones that he hit big on too. So
thank you.
He's kind of like right in the middle, you know?
Yes.
And until the quarterback, and we can't blame him for Rodgers because he got hurt, whatever. But until he gets the quarterback position right, that's going to put him either into the A or, you know, right? That's what's holding him back right now. Because if he hit on Zach Wilson, this team would be flying right now. But obviously we didn't.
The craziest thing about this is, back to the game, the craziest thing about this is, again, we have to acknowledge the fact that Zach Wilson of old would not be able to do this. What he did, he drove the team down the field to score a field goal twice, one in regular time and one in overtime. He did it. He did, in a messy game with all that rain falling and how cold it was out there, the kid didn't turn the ball over on that, the one strip sack. That was it. That was it. I blame him for holding the ball for too long. Somebody could tell me other, whatever you want to say. To me, you got to have that internal clock in the pocket telling you, that warning you that you do not have time. By the time you get over, if you're counting one Mississippi, two Mississippi, you cannot go to three. In the NFL, the best things happen for quarterbacks between 2 and 3 seconds in the pocket. If you graduate past that, you're asking for trouble. And that's with a good offensive line. When you've lost three of your offensive line that were already backups, or two of them that are already backups, what do you think is going to happen? So all you have to be conscious of what and where you are. What are you doing and where you are? And at that time, I understand trying to get something done, but he has to get that to his head that he has to have that clock going off and he has to take off. And guess what? Basically, that's what happened on that 3rd and 10 in OT, because he was in the pocket, right? Lawrence beat the center, got in with a nice swim move, got in scot-free. Zach understood the issue, felt the pressure, bailed out of the pocket on time to the right side of the field, being able to complete the pass to Lazard. See, when you do it right, good things happen. When you do it wrong, bad things happen. And I was criticized on Twitter for saying, for calling Zach out for holding the ball too long. And everybody's like, well, he's got to give his players a chance. What are you talking about? Give who a chance? Sacks are bad, not only because they're bad stats, but because when you get sacked, stuff like ball come out, strip sacks happen. You don't want to give defenses the chance to sack you. I was like, oh, you got to take the sack. There's times when I hear this and I'm like, this is not good football. There's a reason why you get out of the box and throw the ball away. Throw the ball away.
Great. And you know what? Yeah. Two things really bothered me too about this team was the personal fouls, right? That came back to haunt us again. It seems like,
yeah,
right? Discipline. Two or three. I think Jermaine Johnson.
Yes.
Quincy got one too.
Yes.
Right. I mean, just.
I think that was their most penalized game, and because in reality, if you check the Jets out, the Jets are not a highly penalized team in the NFL. I think to an extent, in the last couple games, for some reason, the penalties have been coming up. But that's not really their thing. They're not really a highly penalized team. But in a situation like that, when everything is not going right, that shouldn't be one of the. That's when you should be even more disciplined.
Right, and it seems like it goes the other way.
Yeah, and the fact that they, you know, and a lot of their issues on third down has been the fact that they've been taking. A lot of the times when they're third and five, and when they were approaching the red zone, and instead of Zach operating from third and five, somebody gets some inopportune penalty, boom, it goes from third and five to third and 10, killing the drive. So there's been a lot of that. So there's been a lot of just bad timing on those penalties. But in all, I know that they're not a highly penalized team, but it seemed like when they need to be disciplined the most is when they're most they're undisciplined the most, which makes absolutely no sense to me. So that's something they got to work on.
Absolutely, that was huge, and of course I think you mentioned it too earlier, was the drops.
Yes.
I know it's bad weather. I get the rain, but come on, you guys. Garrett Wilson had a couple of drops. Lazard had a couple of drops. I mean, they were big too. You know, in a game like that, that's where they show up the most, because it's such a tight game and you can't do that, especially when it's when we start playing the better teams, right? We still got Miami twice. We still got Buffalo again, New England again. You got to clean that up when we play those teams, because they're not going to, those teams, even though Buffalo gave us the game, gave us week one, but those teams are not going to just give us games like the Giants were like, nah, we don't want to win this game. You could have this, you know, they basically just gave us, you know, I'm not taking anything away from Zach Wilson made those two really good throws at the end, right? With 20 something seconds. I don't think anybody's seen that coming, but yeah. So those are my big issues there, but anyway, let's move on. It was an ugly game. Let's face it. We walked out of there with a win.
Before we move on, I want to mention two players. I mean, we know what Zach did,
yeah.
But I just want to mention Jermaine Johnson, who had 5 pressures, 2 sacks, and I want to mention Mostert, who became the special teams player of the week.
Yeah,
I think he pinned the Giants at their below their 10-yard line a couple times in that game. And he just steadily punted well. And given the amount of times he punted, the fact that he did so well, in my opinion, that was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to those two players.
Yeah, without him, I don't think we would have won, to be honest.
Agreed.
That's not even exaggerating it either, but yeah. So anyway, next week or this week coming up, we have another big game. Obviously, every game is going to be big for us now. Monday night, prime time. We got the Chargers coming in. They're coming off a win last week. Chargers are the most frustrating team to watch because you could see right? That's a team. You're like, now that's the Chargers that they could be, right? They beat the Bears 30-13 Sunday night. Eckler came back. He looked like his old self. So are we getting them at the wrong time? Maybe. what do you think of the game coming up? So we end
the Chargers that I'm worried about our offensive line and what it's going to look like, but the Chargers have been giving up almost 300 yards passing per game. I think it would be a good time to let the guide wheels off, let Zach go out there and throw the ball around a little bit.
Yep.
Against a team that's struggling against the pass. So I guess, you know, I mean, yeah. It's an odd team. It makes absolutely no sense. There were a ton of resources poured into this team, offensive line, defensively. There's names all sprinkled all over this team. One of the best young safeties in the NFL who's had a ton of injuries, linebackers, corners. They had the kid from the Patriots. Man, I forget his name. Signed him for a ton of money.
Jackson, right? The corner?
Right. And the kid didn't even make the whole season. He had to be sent back to the Patriots. You know, so there's something crazy about the team. But there's also, on offense, these incredible names like Keenan Allen and Williams and the running back. What's the kid's name?
Eckler.
Eckler. And
Well, Mike Williams is out for the year, right?
Oh, right. That's true.
But still, Keenan Allen, they got Joshua Palmer.
Yeah, they have players. They have a ton of players. And that's the craziest thing about this team is the fact that they have all these names and all these players, and they just somehow get to just mosey around, like, you know, win some here and there, but just perform, you know, kind of, I don't know, like, I don't even want to say ugly. It's just odd the way a team with that kind of talent on it shouldn't be. You know what I mean? They just they underperform. That's what it looks like.
Yes.
Almost every Sunday, the Chargers underperform. And they're one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL, and they just underperform. I don't get it.
And you know what? And they're sitting at 3-4. So they're still,
yes,
right? They're still in the playoff race with us. They're only a game behind us. So they're right in it. So this is a dangerous team, especially playing well last week. I know it's Chicago against, you know, Division II quarterback, all that stuff. But still, you know what? If they get – this is a team that if they get the confidence going and, you know, the ball rolling in the right direction, yeah, that's a team that you got to watch out for. But the Chargers are, sadly, we keep calling them, they are the Chargers. They are what they are, and they could look as good as they looked last week. They could look, they could flip the coin in one game and look as bad as they could the following week.
So, yeah, and it's tied to their coach, in my opinion, because to me, one of the reasons why Staley was hired was because he was one of those good young coaches in the NFL that had taken the Rams defense and turned it into something that was kind of scary, right? And he has not done the same over there. Given the names and the players that he has with Bosa and Mack, and, you know, to me, it just, you know, the fact that they underperform, it just sounds like the veteran players on that team does not buy in, has not bought into Staley's system. You know what I mean? It just seems like that. And we've seen this before on other teams in the NFL. When there's older players, you have to, the way you get them to buy in is to sell them something that they understand or sell them something that they think could work. Because they've been in the NFL long enough that they could smell a rat. You know what I mean? You can't just bring anything to them and go, hey, this is going to work. No, they're not rookies, and they're not only been in the NFL for a year or two. They've been around. So if you're going to sell them something, it got to work. And I think that's probably the reason why I don't think they buy it. I don't think they think it's going to work. And because of that, you just see in the way they play.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's why it's such a tough game. But I think, like you said, I think this is the game. If Zach Wilson, if they're going to take the training wheels off and try to open up this offense a little bit, this is the game to do it. Even though we all know who that deep, you know, who they have, you know, on their defensive line, right?
Yeah.
That's the scary part, because they do.
That's, yeah.
They do get to the quarterback. So.
And a few games ago, Mac had what, how many, 5 sacks in a game or something like that?
Yeah, he was up there.
Yeah, no, man. With our offensive line basically eviscerated by injury, it is not a good look. And being able to protect Zach is a big thing. And no matter how much I talk about the fact that the Chargers are giving up all these yards, first and foremost, protecting Zach has to be the first thing. And if that means running the ball more, you know, basically depending on the run to kind of take the Chargers out of the, you know, rushing the passer, giving Zach more operable third downs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Giving him more operable third downs, you know, third and four, third and five. To me, that's more important than being able to, you know, than anything else. You know, that whole, I understand that they had this thing where they didn't like, they weren't throwing the ball on third, no, they were running the ball every time on first down, and, you know, and everybody could predict it was going to happen. And they've been a little bit more unpredictable, throwing the ball a little bit more on first down. Listen, if you go in this game and you can't protect the kid, it's not going to be a good look. So, I'm definitely for establishing the run, get Hall going. And, you know, a little play action here and there would be great.
And the Chargers are very good against the run.
Yeah, see?
They're giving up 93 yards a game, which is 6th in the NFL. On the other side, the Jets are 31st against the run, giving up 144 a game. So,
yeah,
it's going to be an interesting game.
This is an interesting conversation because this is where, you know, the, hey, is this Jets defense elite? You know, conversations going, you know, what, you know, what can we get from these numbers? You know, it seems like the Jets defense does this thing, this whole bend and not break thing where people move the ball on the Jets, but when it matters the most, they rise and right, they get turnovers and they stop downs, you know, but the numbers say different, and it all, in my opinion, it always, when something like that happens, when things like that are happening, in my opinion, there is underlying issues. And because of all the big plays, and I think, you know, those things are kind of masking the underlying issues. So I will still talk about the fact that our safeties have not tackled as well and have not taken great angles. And I don't think our pass rush is as good as it's been. And yes, the numbers say differently, but sacks don't tell the whole story. You know what I mean? So there's a lot here. There's something here. Don't know what it is. And if, you know, it's probably being masked. That's why the numbers are telling such a different story than a lot of what the outcomes have been. I think the turnovers have been masking that, because the Jets have been getting a ton of turnovers per game, right?
Yep. And we're like the complete opposite on defense with the Chargers, right? We're good against the pass, bad against the run. And the Chargers are the complete opposite.
Yeah. And but this is the reason why. It's like I said, how are the Jets that bad against the run? You know, I think, again, like I said, I think the numbers are, people say numbers don't lie, you know, and I think the numbers are showing something that are kind of an underlying issue here. But they need to fix it, because if the Jets are going to keep going for this season, they cannot just rely on having three turnover games. That's not going to happen. They're not going to keep turning people over three times a game. That's not going to happen. Go ahead.
And if they're going to make any kind of run for the playoffs,
yes,
the schedule does get easier at times, and you know, going forward. But this is the game you got to win, because you're at home, you're coming off of W as well. I know we're banged up on the offensive line, but this is a game that, you know what, because this is a team that if you lose to, now they're going to jump you for the playoffs or tie you for the playoffs, right? So this is a team you got to beat. Because this is a team that could kind of sneak up on you at the end of the year, like they do almost every year, because they lose a bunch of games that they shouldn't win and whatever. But this is a team that you got to win, because next week you got Vegas on the road, should beat them, because we're going to get into them in the next quarter here with the NFL news, because they have a new coach and everything. And then you got Buffalo and Miami back to back, right? So these next two games, you got to take care of business these next two games, because you got the divisional games coming up, which are going to be really hard. So what do you think? We'll put all these numbers together. We'll put them in the machine here. And what are you spitting out? What are you getting, a Jets victory or a Charger victory on Monday night?
I will, no matter how critical I was of what the Jets defense is, I still acknowledge that it's a good defense. And the fact that they're getting turnovers means that they're a good defense. And, you know, that's an indicator of a good defense. Are they great? Are they elite? I don't think they're there yet. Can they be? Yes. I think they can. But I think they're capable of shutting down the Chargers, because the Chargers could be high flying sometimes, and they could not. And I think the Jets are capable of shutting down this team. So I'm going to say the Jets win this game. And it's going to be low scoring, but not as low scoring as a Giants game. I think it's going to be something like 17-10 Jets.
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit more. I'll say 24-21 Jets.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think the Chargers are going to put some points on the board. Let's just hope we put on a little bit more. Hopefully a defensive touchdown in there. That would be nice. But I'd say 24-21 Jets, hopefully. All right, so let's get to the second quarter, where we'll talk about the Jet news, and obviously the trade deadline came and gone. We got nobody. There were news that we spoke to Tampa Bay for Mike Evans, the Raiders for Devontae Adams, but to no avail. We couldn't get him. But we found out Ezra Cleveland got traded to the Jags for a 6th rounder. I thought that was you know what? At first, I thought that was horrible that they didn't get him. But you know what? He is going to be a free agent, so maybe they don't want to give up a pick for him. I get it. We ended up signing Roger Saffold to the practice squad. He's a the last 2 years, he's been a Pro Bowler for Buffalo and Tennessee. So he is 34. So maybe we'll get him in another week or two because he's got to get into football shape. He hasn't played this year. But he does know this blocking scheme from being on the Titans with this coach. So I don't think it's going to be that, you know, it probably won't take him that long, right, to know the scheme. Do you know anything about Saffold? Do you have any?
Yeah. He's been one of those stellar blockers in the NFL for a while. I think when he was with the, I think he gave up a very small number of sacks when he was with the Bills. I can't remember exactly the number, but I remember reading a long time ago that he was really a guy that gave up a ton of sacks.
Was a Pro Bowler.
If you're a Pro Bowler, yeah. Well, that's probably the reason why he was. I know a little about him. I respect his game. And like I said, he's a really good pass blocker. Pass blocking technique, in my opinion, is something older players in the NFL at offensive line, they get better with age at pass blocking. I think where their game falls apart is in run blocking. Because when you've played, I think being able to run the ball or being able to take, basically you gotta move a man against his will. And that kind of fight, as much as it's technique, it's also attitude and will. And if you've been doing this for a long time, man, I don't know if you have the same, you know, gusto that you had when you was 28. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's let's see. You know, maybe he still has a ton of passion for the game, and that will come out. But I'm not worried about his pass blocking. As much as I'm worried about him being a blocker as a run defender, a run blocker. So, yeah, that's my opinion.
The bad news was we placed Connor McGovern, Wes Schweitzer, the backup offensive lineman, and also Al Woods on IR. Al Woods is done, I think, for the season. The other two guys will be back in a couple of weeks.
Torn Achilles for Woods.
Yeah, another one.
Yeah.
We signed Tanzel Smart, the defensive lineman, which is great news. And we also signed Dennis Kelly to both of those guys to the active roster. So,
yeah, well, Smart was already signed and he was a part of our
practice squad. Yeah.
Our practice squad. So he just got activated. So he's going to come up and replace Woods.
And what about Dennis Kelly?
I don't know too much about him.
Yeah.
Not too much. Yeah. I really don't know too much about him at all. Yeah, but if he's on the squad, he definitely fits what the offensive coach, offensive line coach likes in his guys, and what they want. So because as much as you want to, you know, the kid that they brought up, Xavier is his name, that played center, yeah, he had that one fumble, but let's be real. For you to play in a game like that, under those conditions, to face that defensive line, because I as much as, you know, you want to say whatever you want about the Giants, the one thing you can't really criticize on is that defensive line. You can't. By the way, why the hell did they move Williams when they did? Don't understand it. Him and Lawrence in the middle of that defense is ridiculous. And I think the Jets coaching staff will find a way to get the team ready for Monday. I mean, because this is gonna be another challenge. But this team has shown over and over again that they have incredible amounts of fight in them. And let's see what we could do.
And Dennis Kelly, real quick, He's been around for 10 years. First three was with Philly. Then he went to Tennessee for five. So I guess that's the connection right there. And then he went for Green Bay 2 years ago. And then last year, Indianapolis. So in his career, he's played 130 games, started 54 of them, basically at right tackle or left tackle. So that's what kind of player he was. And that's that. So, all right, so that's the end of the first half. We're going to get into the third quarter now, where we're going to start off with the NFL news. Real quick, before we get to the trade deadline, we heard Josh McDaniels, the OC, and the GM all let go by the Raiders. The news came down at like 1 a.m., I think, for us, so probably 11 o'clock out there. I don't know. This is probably I don't want to say probably because we know what could happen in the NFL. I would say Josh McDaniels is probably done as a coach. You know, maybe he'll come back as an OC at some point, but what do you think?
That's his only game, because at this point, I think the NFL movers and shakers, they have to admit that this guy sucks as a coach.
Yeah.
You know, you as a coach, you have to have a certain outlook or a certain game plan, right? You go in with your game plan, and to me, the one size fits all thing can't work, because NFL locker rooms are kind of weird. You know, you have to be able to understand not only the locker room, but the team, the ownership. And for me, almost every coach that coached under Bill Belichick has this attitude that they could move the Patriot way into, you know, another team, another front office, another, you know what I mean? Another locker room. That's not how this works. Number one, you need to have the guy that made the Patriot way. If you're not, you know, Bill Belichick, do not run Bill Belichick's system. That's number one. And the fact that you keep doing the same thing over and over again is ridiculous. You're running the same old plays that you've been running all these years. Yeah, they work, but you know why they work? It's because you had a quarterback that was a legendary quarterback. You needed to find new plays that fit the quarterback, which was Jimmy G, for you, and fit the kind of wide receivers and the kind of players you have. That was the sickening thing, is to watch him fail, knowing that he's using the same old tactics. Come on, man. Come on. That's incredible. That you gotta be hard-headed to the umpteenth degree to not go, hey, you know what? This might not just after failing miserably in Denver, this doesn't work. I need a new drawing board, not even erase it. I need a completely new drawing board. Nope.
Yeah. No, I agree. Some guys, listen, we talk about it all the time, right? Some guys are just not cut out to be head coaches. They might be great OCs, great DCs, special teams coaches, whatever. But some of them just can't take that next step and become head coaches. They're just not built for it. And maybe this seems to be another great example of it, you know, and this is his second shot at it. Really his third, because remember he was going to be the Colts, I think.
Head coach. Yes.
I thought he was done after that. Oh, but obviously. God. But anyway, so that's interesting. And now obviously Raiders probably going to rebuild, probably going to go through a whole rebuild. So obviously now the rumors are going crazy. Davante Adams is going to get traded to the Jets this offseason. So we'll see. Actually, your guy, Scott, playlikeajet.com on Twitter said, I'd rather sign Mike Evans this offseason rather than trade for Davante Adams, because Evans, you just got to sign. Davante Adams, yeah. Right? You got to trade, and you're going to have to give up a lot for him, because you know there's going to be other teams out there looking to trade for this guy. So
I agree.
So he brought up a good point. So
That was a great point. Yeah.
I loved it. And Mike Evans, hello, his first 9 years, over 1,000 yards, first wide receiver to do that. So Yeah, he's pretty good. So so we'll get into the trade deadline for the NFL. Some big news. You mentioned real quick, Leonard Williams, not yesterday, but a couple of days before the deadline, got traded to Seattle for a 2 and a 5, which I thought was really good on the Giants' end. You brought up a good point. I know. Yeah, you're giving up on, but you got to remember that their season's done, right? Let's face it. They're, what, 2 and 6? We've seen them firsthand now how bad they are. Their season's over. They may as well get what they can. I was surprised they didn't trade Barkley because Barkley's a free agent after the season. And do they really want to go through another offseason like they went through last year with him sitting out and, you know, and signing him at the towards the end of camp and all that? If you want him, sign the kid. You know, give him an extension, get it over with. Don't drag this into the offseason and make it a mess like it was last year. This past offseason. So, but we'll see. They might just tender him and, you know, let him get signed somewhere else. So that'll be interesting. Chase Young got traded to San Fran. How's that?
The rich keep getting richer, man. I mean, how many star defensive linemen do you need on one team?
It's crazy.
Yeah, makes no sense to me, man. They, you know, all of a sudden now you reunite Bosa with Young when they in their school days they played in college. They played together.
Yep.
And then you have a bunch of first and second round picks on this line, one after the other. Armstead, what's the other guy's name? I forgot his name. Hey, I mean, come on,
man. It's not right.
It's not. And the way they rotate is crazy. So that will probably enable Young to be a little, you know, go a little bit harder because then he doesn't have to play all these snaps. These guys are all so athletic and so talented, but also have so much size to them. So it's gonna be incredible to see what they do. And I just want to ask the 49ers GM, where did he find his the wand, the magic wand he has? I don't know where he, yeah, I want to know where it came from. But he found it.
And Washington wasn't done there, trading away one of their big edge rushers. They traded away their other one, Montez Sweat, to Chicago for a second round pick. Now, you know, like, it seems pretty odd, right? Because he's going to be a free agent. So, but I think they're trying to build something in Chicago, right? They think they got a quarterback in Fields. I don't know if they got him yet, but we'll have to see. But they need a lot of help on defense. So maybe they're trying to get him and they'll re-sign him in the offseason. You know, I get
they have a lot. Yeah, the Bears are bereft of talent on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
And anything they could do to get talent, actual talent on this team, is kudos to them, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad at them for trying to get in a pass rusher. You know, in a passing league, you need pass rushers. So I'm not really mad at them. Nobody. And if the Washington needs to build something, they need more. They need help. And they've already paid the defensive tackle all that money. And in their opinion, keeping those guys around wasn't good. I don't know why. Because I thought that was where they were most talented. So to take that out, you know, it's something I got to dig into more. Probably later in the season, we're going to find out why that is. I know Chase Young didn't live up to what he was supposed to be coming out of college because of all the injuries. So I understand that. Sweat, on the other hand, to me, is a good player. You know, so getting, you know, even if he's going to be a free agent, why not sign him long term? What's the deal? What's going on there?
Yeah.
You know, that's the question. Why don't they trust to keep him around? And why did they think getting rid of him was better than keeping him around. I don't know.
And just to add to it, next year, the Bears and the Commanders are both going to have the most cap space going into the offseason. They're going to have about...
So that's what it is.
Yeah. So they got the money to spend. So maybe the Bears sign him at the end of the year. The Commanders, they're looking to rebuild, right? Because they got the new owners there now.
Yes.
Ownership, probably going to get a new head coach after this season. Who knows?
Yep. Sounds about right. That's what it sounds. Once you said the numbers about them having the cap space, it makes a lot of sense. It seems like what they're doing is restructuring and just retooling, you know? So, yeah.
Ezra Cleveland, guard from the Vikings, got traded to the Jags for a sixth rounder. But he's going to be a free agent after this year. I think that's why the Jets didn't really go in on him too much harder than that. Because he is a free agent. But it is what it is. I would have liked to have seen him get that, but I guess they like the guy that they signed, you know, that we mentioned earlier. So.
The only thing I'm going to say about the Cleveland thing is I think not the Cleveland thing overall in this trade deadline thing. I think one of the being able to kind of balance this thing out between going for broke or trying to retool this team right now at this moment. I think it's a balance that Joe Douglas has taken. And I don't think you could really judge him on anything he does right now, because ultimately, if we're looking at it for what it is, the return of Aaron Rodgers is what matters, right? So you need to position yourself for when he comes back to give him the best chance to take you to the Super Bowl. So whatever we could get, I know the season's not over, but just to put my GM cap on for a second, right? If you're thinking forward a little bit, you're thinking about not giving up too much right now. You want to see what this team could do this season, but also position yourself in the offseason to be in the right position for an Aaron Rodgers run to a Super Bowl. So the balance between, hey, you know, doing all this stuff now where you're spending stuff, you're spending, picks or whatever. Do you do that now with unforeseen circumstances coming up, or do you wait until the offseason to do that? And to me, I don't think there's a wrong or right answer there. And he chose the latter. He chose to, forego doing any retooling right now and doing that in the offseason. I don't think it's right or wrong. I just think that he gets a chance to prove that his choice was the right choice. So we wait then to judge what the outcome looks like.
Yeah, I agree. Donovan Peoples-Jones got traded to Detroit for a sixth rounder. He's another free agent.
Yeah, nice move. Good wide receiver. I think he's a guy that you could use in a lot of ways. He's kind of like a Swiss Army knife type of wide receiver. I think he could be a deep threat if you need him to. He's a big guy that could body a lot of corners, I think. And also, I think he's a yak guy. So you could use him in different ways. And so I think it's a good get.
Right.
Yeah. So I like the addition of him.
I agree. And then one last one came in. Razoo Douglas got traded to the Bills for a third rounder.
Yeah, the Bills have been struggling a little bit on in the defensive part. They have a ton of injuries. So I understand that. And Douglas is a good player. So I think he fits into what they do. They need corners and defensive backs that are incredibly smart and have high IQs, because a lot of what they do depends on how high of your understanding of your football understanding is. So, yeah.
All right. So that's basically the NFL news and the trade deadline that went and gone this year. Let's get into the games for our fourth quarter here. So we end the show here. We'll talk about the games for this week coming up. First game, Thursday night. Tennessee coming off their big win with Will Levis starting in his first game. Had a really good game in his first game. But they travel to Pittsburgh. This is a big game for both teams. Tennessee 3-4, Pittsburgh 4-3. What do you think?
Pittsburgh, when their defense don't play as good as that they've been playing, when Watt doesn't have a turnover or strip sack or whatever, they just haven't been able to do nothing. And they have a pretty kind of a inflexible offense. They could only do one thing. They could only play one way. They don't do adjustments well. So they've struggled mightily, especially in second halves of games when teams kind of figure out what they do. I did a little bit digging on this game, not too much, but enough to know that the coverage or the scheme on defense that they played against the Steelers in the past game was basically cover two. And if you know what cover two is, cover two has two weaknesses: middle of the field and basically the space between the flat corner or the corner playing the downside of the defense or closer to the line of scrimmage, and the safety who's playing the deeper portion of the boundary. And for you to get, if you could get the ball in there, which takes a little bit more precision passing, take a little bit off a pass, and then down the middle where you need a little bit of a rocket for arm to kind of take advantage of the space between the two safeties in cover two. Unfortunately, Kenny Pickett is just not that guy, you know, and none of the quarterbacks is that guy. And there was no actual change in what they do on offense. So that kind of killed them, the Steelers I'm talking about. Right. So when their defense don't play well, that's basically what you're seeing. You're seeing their struggles because the defense is not. And I think Fitzpatrick, who's their one of their best defensive backs or defensive players overall, he was out. I don't even think he's going to be in for this game coming up. So they're going to continue struggling, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, this is definitely, and you got Will Levis making his second career start.
Yes.
Obviously in the second career game. So
hell of a game. Kind of erased the attitude by most folks that what's the kid's name? The wide receiver, that his career has ended, right? Because everybody thinks that
DeAndre Hopkins had a nice game.
Yeah. Everybody thinks that, hey, guess what? The quarterback just couldn't get him the ball because this kid came in and got him the ball. One thing you could say about Levis watching him play in college is he has a hell of an arm.
Yep.
So his arm talent showed up, you know. The crazy thing about the Titans is this. If they could be explosive, they will be a problem. Because then they could attack you in so many different ways.
Yep.
They have the running back that could bludgeon you. So if you're going to add guys to the box to stop the run, you're basically putting your corners and safeties out there against a guy that you know that could throw the ball accurately down the field. That's a problem. So coming into games, you have to pick your poison. And if he could continue performing like that, hey, watch out for the Titans, man, because guess what they could do? They could also play very good defense. And Simmons, who's their defensive tackle, I remember him coming out. Chris, I remember us having this conversation. If this kid had not gotten injured, he dropped down to what, the 19th spot he was drafted that year in 2019, I think so. Yeah. He was not going to be in the 19th spot. No. That's how good this kid is. And you could see it in that game. I think he had two sacks and a tackle for a loss and six tackles in that game. Incredible player. So they could play defense. They could run the ball. And if they have an explosive version, that's a three-dimensional attack, in my opinion. And that's good teams in the NFL. That's what they do. So you would have to start measuring them as one of them if Levis could perform on that level consistently?
That's the question.
Yeah. But yeah, the Steelers are losing that game. They're not, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah. Listen, this is going to be a classic game. You know, two tough defenses. You know, can Pickett do enough on offense? And he hasn't. So we'll see. Then we go Sunday. Got a game from London again. Miami or wherever it is. Is it London or is it? Oh, no.
It's in Germany.
Germany.
Yes.
Miami and Kansas City, which should be a really good game. Can Kansas City bounce back? And last week, let's be honest, real quick with Kansas City.
Yes.
Of course, to Denver. But just think about what Mahomes did, right? He was sick leading up to the weekend. And he went Friday night to the World Series in Texas. He went there to watch game one.
Did he really?
Yeah. While he was sick.
I thought it was only Travis Kelce that went. Mahomes was there too.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Right?
So I don't know if that was a good idea for him, because think about it. He flew there, flew back. Saturday, they do a walkthrough. They fly to Denver, right? And then they play Sunday. While this guy is sick. I mean, this guy had the flu or whatever he was. They were giving him IV. That's how sick he was. He had to go to the game? If this was anybody else, they'd be getting killed for that. It's Mahomes, yeah. And I'm sure some of the people in the Kansas City organization was like, did he have to go? You know, this guy's not feeling well. But Mahomes is Mahomes. Let's see if he can bounce back this week.
You, to me, openly criticizing what the players did is to me, that you didn't do anything wrong. I think it's right to. The fact that they have the right to do what they did doesn't mean that's the thing they should be doing. There's a lot of young players on that team that need help. Their wide receivers, in my opinion, is part of the reason why they lost that game. Incredible amounts of bad route running and drops. The combination of those two things and the just bad execution on their part is what they kind of got exposed that way. Players on his team perform the way they do, he rescues them by broken plays where he kind of gets out of the pocket and then, but guys were dropping those balls. So, you know, when you're winning, a lot of ails are kind of fixed. But when you lost, especially when you lost to a team that has struggled the way the Broncos have, a microscope, you know, will kind of be put on your movements and what you did. And everyone is right for criticizing them for going to that game. I'm not gonna be out here saying how the Chiefs are gonna suck or not, because this is Patrick Mahomes we're talking about. It's not gonna continue.
Oh yeah, and the Dolphins are getting Holland back. They're getting I think their lineman Armstead is coming back too this week.
Mm.
So they're getting healthy.
So, yes.
yeah. KC's got to straighten out, and it's gonna be a tough battle for them. I like
be quite a game.
I do.
You like Miami?
Yeah. I think Kansas, you know, it's not
Holland. Holland's return interests me, because this kid is one of the more promising safeties in the NFL, man. I love that kid. So that's an interesting pick, but I can't pick against this dude, man. I can't. What's Patrick up? Mahomes is. Yeah, I'm gonna stay with the Chiefs on this.
Right?
Yep.
All right, next game, you got Minnesota. Bad news for them this week. They lose Kirk Cousins. Again, Achilles. We keep hearing this injury, but they lose him. And they also traded for Josh Dobbs. That was another one of the trades from the trade deadline. He's not going to start this week. They got a rookie starting this week for them. For the Vikings. What's his name? I'll give it to you in a second. Jaren Hall.
Hall, yeah. Yes.
He's going to start his first game. And then Atlanta's going to start a new quarterback too. Not new, but Heineke's going to start for them as well, I believe. So,
yeah.
Both teams 4-4. Interesting matchup here. I'll go with Atlanta only because I think their defense is better. But Minnesota's defense has been playing better as well. But
oh, yeah.
Just they got the veteran quarterback. That's all I'm going with, you know, because I don't know.
Yeah, that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. I think both defenses are going to play pretty well. I don't think this is going to be one of those good games to watch where it's going to be entertaining. It's probably going to be a knockdown, drag out fight where both offenses struggle. You're right. I think you lean more on the Heineke because it's been around for a minute and I think he's going to make less mistakes or he's going to make the better choice or the best choice. So I'm going to stick with the Falcons. It just bothers me. Two things about this game. Number one, I want to say how sad I am to see Kirk Cousins go down the way he did. I think he was just hitting his stride for the season. He had been playing incredible football. And for him to get injured the way he did, when he did, is sad, incredibly sad. On the Falcons side, please, Arthur Smith needs to explain why he has one of the more athletic, more gifted tight ends in the NFL blocking instead of running catch passes. And why he drafted a running back who's immensely talented and the kid is only having 5 to 10 touches a game or whatever it was. I don't know. He had like 6 touches. What is going on?
It makes no sense. Something is off over there, especially with Bijan. He didn't play much.
Yeah, Bijan don't play much. The tight end is blocking instead of doing what he's supposed to do, being a matchup nightmare down the field. And then the ball is not being thrown to London either. I don't get it. I don't know what's going on over there in Atlanta.
Arizona at Cleveland. Arizona 1-7. They're either going to start Kyler Murray because Josh Dobbs was
traded. Yes.
And it's either Kyler Murray or Toon, their backup quarterback. It's going to be one of the two because Kyler Murray has been activated. So, and we know Cleveland, they lost a tough game against Seattle last week.
Toon is an interesting kid, man. I remember an out-of-the-way podcast of somebody I respect a lot as a draft and an analyzer talking about this kid being really talented and showing videos of him. He is an interesting talent. I don't, to tell you the truth, that he has certain shortcomings. That's part of the reason why he wasn't drafted really high, but he's an interesting guy. I would just love to see what he looks like in the NFL. On the other hand, the Browns is an incredibly talented team. Everywhere on that team is just players and players and players, and I just don't see them losing this game.
Yeah, me either. Rams at Green Bay. Green Bay's got a quarterback problem.
Did you see that coming?
It's
crazy because I did not think that kid was going to be that bad. He's going to devolve to that level. Even if I thought he would probably take a couple steps back or a step back at least. Not like this.
Yeah.
No, not like this, man. And the Rams are just, they have injuries. Now their quarterback, is he going to even play? He has that thumb that was lacerated or whatever it was.
Yeah, I don't think he's out yet. I don't think his vision's been ruled out, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think the Rams go where their quarterback take them. The fact that he's out spells problems for them. But the Packers are even worse off, in my opinion. So I'll take the Rams on this.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough game. Probably an ugly game, too.
Yes. Yeah.
The team is really playing great. Washington, we talked about them losing a couple of guys now. Going to New England to play the Patriots.
Yeah, you don't go over there with I don't care how down and out the Patriots are. You don't go there without firepower as pass rushers and win. If they could beat the Patriots, I think this is probably the worst Patriots team we've seen in more than a decade. because no.
Decades.
Yeah, this yeah, you can't you trade your firepower away and you go play the Patriots. No. They still to play defense, and yeah, as much as I like on an I love the quarterback, the Washington quarterback. I think there's something there. But it's like hit or miss sometimes with him. But the hit looks really good, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting to me, and I want to see what he does. But can he operate against a defense that's as confusing as the Patriots could be? That would be a challenge. So I see the Patriots taking their third win here.
Yeah, I see them beat Washington. Washington's in like a they're starting to rebuild now going into the offseason. So, yeah, I think they're due for a loss here. Chicago travels to the Saints. And Fields, I don't think, is playing this week either. I think he's still out.
Chicago is just done. Nothing is working. Their offense looks bad. Their defense looks bad. They don't have a lot of talent on that team. And the Saints, on the other hand, are just incredibly talented everywhere. The rise of what's that kid name? The wide receiver for the Saints, Shaheen.
Oh yeah,
or whatever his name. Oh my goodness. You know what's crazy is I came into our little chat when you guys were picking, when y'all were doing your before your fantasy thing,
right?
And I think it was Krista that was asking, Krista or Daniel was asking about picks, and I said look into the Saints wide receivers because whoever that's available, take him. Because I saw potential in what they did, and how they look in the preseason and in their practices. So so it's not really a surprise to me that this kid is emerging.
And he's their third option too, when you think about it.
That's the craziest thing. Yeah, because Olave and Thomas are the first two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the crazy. You have the incredible route runner, you have the possession wide receiver, and you have the burner.
Right.
That's a great combination, man.
Yeah, you got everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the Saints there. This should be probably could be the game of the week. Seattle at Baltimore.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep. Yeah, man. I the Ravens, I said the Browns were the dark horse in the AFC before the season started, because I could not see the Ravens. I know what they could do. I knew who LJ is. I know what they could do on defense. But I did not see the way they're performing coming. They're performing as one of the best teams in the NFL right now. They're taking the ball away. They're stopping the run. They're rushing the ball with precision, and they're throwing the ball with precision, which has, in my opinion, kind of shined a really positive light on Todd Monken, which was a hire. We was one of the options the Jets had back in the day, which unfortunately got, instead of us taking Monken, we took he who shall not be named, Crazy Eyes. I can't wait to watch that game, man, because Seattle brought in Williams from the Giants to kind of bolster that front seven, which I think has incredible pass rushes. And yeah, one of their weaknesses is the middle of the defense. Hey, one thing I know Williams could do is stop that. So that is going to be an incredible matchup. I can't wait to see it. If I would go out on a limb and say who wins that game, I say the Ravens do.
Yeah, but I think Seattle's going
to because that game is going to be close. It's not going to be a blowout at all. No.
Tampa Bay goes to Houston. Both teams 3-4. This is a tough one too, because Houston.
Yeah, this yeah,
banging in.
Houston is an interesting team. I think the fact that the quarterback, has performed at the level that he has surprised everyone. I'll say I'm surprised. I also like the energy on defense, and they're starting to fit kind of what their coach is, which is we remember him from the 49ers and from his playing days, the kind of attitude of never give up, just incredibly violent play. I love what they represent. I don't think they have the bodies now right now, and I think the Buccaneers do. So I'll stick with the Bucs on this one.
Yeah. Next game you got. This is not pretty. Indianapolis travels to Carolina. Carolina gets their first win last week.
Yeah, I'll stick with the Colts because I just think they're just a little bit more talented.
Yeah.
The Panthers are missing a lot of things right now, especially I saw people tweeting that the quarter you don't know. Listen, not everybody's Peyton Manning. It's gonna take time. There's positivity in my opinion on the kid quarterback. I think he's gonna be fine. I think it's just that right now they just don't have the bodies right now, and the Colts are just incredibly more talented than they are right now. So I'll take the Colts.
Yeah, I think so. And Bryce Young, the question is always going to be about his height, right? That's always going to come.
Yes.
That question is going to be until he answers it. That's always going to be the big question mark with him. The Giants coming off their ugly game against us go to Vegas to play the Raiders. Raiders in complete turmoil now, right? New head coach, new OC, new GM. So, and they got a new quarterback too. Aiden Connell is going to start for them, not Jimmy G. So.
I will go on an outside thing here. I'm not normally I would pick the Giants to win this game, but there is something about firing a head coach that kind of changes locker rooms. I mean, sometimes it's a dose of energy for that lasts like a minute, but it does work. I mean, come on, think about it, Chris. How many times have you seen this?
Oh, yeah.
Remember Carolina when they fired their head coach last year?
Yep.
Was it last year? And they went on this 6-game winning streak or 5-game winning streak or whatever it was. It happens. I don't know why, but it always happens.
Think about a couple of years ago with the Raiders, right? When they had when they fired John Gruden.
Yes.
And they brought up, who was it? Bisaccia? Was that his name?
Yes. Yes, that's the name.
Yes, the playoffs. It should be Cincinnati, actually, in that playoff game. So
crazy yeah. How it works. Yeah. So on the most circumstances, I'll pick the Giants. Under this circumstance, I'll pick the Raiders.
there's three games of the week, and this is another one. Dallas goes to Philly. Woo!
Oh man, I mean, I will say this. Not to anger my friend Chris here, but the Eagles have to answer what the hell's going on with their defensive back room. Because if Washington could tear them apart, like Chris said earlier, what do you think the Cowboys are going to do?
Yeah.
And the Cowboys' defense have been playing well. I think they went, they came, they got back to what they do best, turning the ball over and playing good defense. The problem here is there's one man in this game that probably would be a super friend or one of those hero shows or whatever it is. AJ Brown, unstoppable.
Right now.
Unstoppable. Yeah, unstoppable, man. He breaking NFL records as a wide receiver. I mean, that's, you don't see this. This is not a normal thing. This is something that happens once in a blue moon. When a wide receiver is on a streak like that, he has the size, he has the speed, he's capable of running any route. he's not that guy that you see all he could do is run fades or run go routes. No, he could catch the ball short and run and get yak because he's that kind of physical. And he could get in and out of his breaks so efficiently that he could run slants and he could run circus routes and he could run dig routes. He could proficiently, all those proficiently. And then on top of all of that, he could run the go and the and he could run the fade and body your favorite corner. Yeah. So it's just crazy how good this kid is, man. And it's crazy how good he's been. It'll be hard for Deron Bland to get pick sixes against him. You know, since he's been getting pick six almost every week the last couple games. That's not something that's going to happen. But I think the mismatch is what the Eagles are doing with their defensive backs and what the Cowboys could do with their passing game. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing to watch there.
Yeah, I'm not picking Dallas in this game, obviously. So
of course you're not.
At home, no less. Yeah. So I'm going to definitely go Philly here. But they do have straighten out their defensive back because they gave up – it was almost 400 yards last week to Sam Howell. So they got to figure that out. And last game, Sunday night, big game, Buffalo at Cincinnati. Rematch, of course, from last year, the horrible Hamlin incident where
– yes.
But anyway, Buffalo at Cincinnati.
Buffalo does not, to me, the Cincinnati I watched on Sunday, Buffalo does not have a chance. This is the team that we were waiting for. The precision passing, right? We could do everything you could do. We could pass the ball short and yak. We could run the ball down your throat. Then on top of that, we could beat you downfield, right? So we could out-physical you, and we could out-finesse you on offense. But then, on defense, we could pass rush, we could stop the run, and we could bully you. That's the Bengals that we were waiting for the whole season. And if that's the team that shows up against the Bills, unfortunately, at this time, the Bills are not running on all cylinders. It's a bad time to play this Bengals team. One team is on the up, and one team is kind of middling, in my opinion. Even if they won their game last week, I think the Bills are just not playing on the Bengals level right now. And so I pick the Bengals.
Yeah, I think the Bengals right now are playing their best ball. We've seen them play all year, the past couple of weeks. So, yeah, I think so. And Buffalo is still Buffalo, right? Good team, but I don't know. I still... I Buffalo is going to make the playoffs this year, but do you trust them in the playoffs? No.
Exactly.
Game like this, I'm going to take Cincy, especially at home. Even if they weren't home, I think because Cincinnati beat San Fran, right, last week in San Fran. So
yeah,
Cincinnati's playing great right now. I definitely give them the edge. So I'm definitely going with Cincy in this game, and then Buffalo will probably win. But anyway. Crazy, but that's the NFL, man. NFL changes every week. You just don't know what's going to happen. So that's what's great about the NFL, and that's what's bad about the NFL as we enter week 9. Anyway, that's our show. Hopefully you enjoyed our new format. It's somewhat the same, something a little different as well. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Enjoy the games this week, and we'll be back next week. We'll see you next week.
Take it easy, guys.